Okay, it's 6 o'clock and we will start our regular city council meeting, please. So if everybody could sit down. We have finished our study session and so we're getting ready to start the regular meeting. Okay, as always, we're going to start with a moment of silence, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
Mr. Crawford, could we have the roll call, please?
Certainly. We have Eric Davidson here, Karina Higgins
here,
Mike Hill
here,
Ryan Lopez
here,
Richard May
present,
and Mary Lou Stewart
present.
Arthur Baldwin requested to be excused.
You have a motion to excuse Garth?
I move that we excuse Garth. A second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Garth is excused, 6-0. Okay, we now have a delightful part of our program, and that is to administer the police officer oath of office to Brandon Russell Chen. So I will do that now.
And then if you'd like to come up.
I am Brandon Lusokin.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Obey and defend.
Obey and defend.
The Constitution.
The Constitution.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution.
And the Constitution.
And laws.
And laws.
Of the State of Washington.
Of the State of Washington.
And all City of Blaine ordinances.
And all City of Blaine ordinances.
And that I
will faithfully and impartially
perform and discharge the duties of police officer.
The duties of police officer.
According to the law.
According to the law.
And the best of my ability.
And the best of my ability.
Okay, that's all happy news. Very nice. Okay, moving on. We will have audience participation. We don't have anybody that signed up, so I know there are people in the audience that wish to speak. You may speak on any subject you wish. You have 3 minutes to speak. I ask that you state your name and your address when you start. So if someone just wants to put up their hand and then we can start. Okay, there we go.
Good evening, council members. Good evening, city administration. My name is Otto P. I'm from Blaine, a resident here. My call to action is a reference to agenda item number one, which is the manufactured home parks. Blaine right now is in the midst of unprecedented growth. Project submissions to the city planning department project submissions have gone up in an unprecedented way. We've increased the number of submissions approximately by 3,300 by adding new residents, and the total population is expected to have about a 65% spike from approximately 6,000 today to 9,900 people. Along the way, this will include the destruction of approximately 1,000 acres of forest watershed, which buffers the Blaine water supply. I want to focus on the mobile home park from a holistic perspective. The park will pave one portion of the watershed, and this is one piece of the puzzle to the conundrum of where and how Blaine will generate more water. According to the 22 Blaine Water Quality Report, we consume 192 gallons of water a day here in Blaine, for a total of 550 million gallons a year. This includes the 6,000 residents in Blaine and approximately 2,600 residents that are served by the Birch Bay Sewer and the Bay Jackson Water District, which consumes about 20 to 30% of Blaine's water supply. So what does this mean for us? Based on the approved and projected growth, we will need another 255 million gallons of water for household consumption by 2026. This excludes agricultural needs. So there's just one question. What about droughts and increasing temperatures? Looking beyond the city borders this past summer, our neighbors in Linden, Ferndale, Mountain View, Bakerview, and Aldergrove faced water shortages. 350 homes went without water in Ferndale this past summer. Right now, Whatcom County is in a drought emergency. The UW Climate Impacts Group, which advises the city of Blaine and other city constituencies, recently did a study of the Puget Sound Basin, and that shows that Blaine is vulnerable to summer water shortages due to climate change. UW forecasts a 5-inch reduction in annual waterfall to 32 inches per year by 2026, as well as extended hot summers without rain. The science shows that this will translate into an increased water consumption of 14% more. You can get this report, which talks about Blaine, right online. It's brand new, just came out from UW. So the question really there is, given the shortage of water, conserving water will just not get us there. We see the signs out there, but that's not even anywhere near close to getting us 255 million gallons of water by 2026. So where will the new water come from? If Grandis Pond, Mobile Home Park, East Ridge, and others contaminate the watershed and the aquifer, the Department of Ecology wells, as you well know, are a mile away from Grandis Pond. The Department of Ecology recently tested the water aquifer up there. There's nitrate contamination, fertilizer runoff in our aquifer. We know what the consequences of that is. Do you want our water to smell like Drayton Harbor, like it did this past summer? That's going to be a pleasant smell in our water. My question is simple.
So, excuse me, can you just quickly wrap up, please?
Yeah, my question is really simple. I don't see the GMA plan being updated by the city. It's 2016. It's out of date. It needs to be updated. Number two, the city needs to impose a moratorium on all new city construction above 10 units until we get a plan in place to address the 255 million gallons. And I also want to know, given the deficit, where you're going to get the funds to do this. So I just don't see any planning going on. That's my concern for the 255 million gallons that we're going to need in the next 3 years. Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? If we please step up. Again, your name and address first, please. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. My name is Josh Williams. I live at 2705 West 99th here in Blaine. And I'll keep this brief. As a community, we should be extremely disappointed in the hiring and reduction of our staffing in our police department. Further reductions are not only detrimental to public safety, but to the morale of the few remaining staff members. The staffing of the Blaine Police Department is not sustainable or responsible. Right now, it's my understanding that the police department has 6 officers available for patrol. I know Chief kind of hit on this. 3 officers are currently out on injury, 1 vacancy. I also understand that Mrs. Tammy Butchu back there has received a notice that she'll be laid off from the Blaine Police Department. During a typical 40-hour week for her, she spends about 25% of her time or 10 hours as PIO, which is public information officer, 50% of her time evidence tech or 20 hours, and 25% or 10 hours as records. For PIO, an online world full of misinformation, it's refreshing that the department has up-to-date information for our community. To depend on an officer to update the community as quickly as Tammy does, it's just not practical since these officers are the ones handling these incidents. For the evidence tech part of the job, how can the city and us as a community afford to lose another officer from patrol to keep up with evidence collection, labeling, returning, and proper destruction in a department that is already severely understaffed? Most officers and patrol sergeants already have collateral duties and do not have the time or resources for this additional task. It's just not feasible. I would just like to strongly urge you to reevaluate the dismissal of Ms. Pichu as officers of the City of Blaine Police Department are severely understaffed. I really appreciate you at this time.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wish from the audience wish please step forward again? Your name and address first, please.
Hello, my name is Keith Olson. My address is 7495 Leaside Drive. Honorable council members, I come before you to advocate for a position that has been flagged for reduction in workforce within the Blaine Police Department. Office specialist and evidence custodian Tammy Bachu serves an essential role within the Blaine Police Department. It may not appear this way on paper, but I promise you it is much more demanding than it appears. She is mainly responsible for efficiently running the evidence division as well as clerical work. She effectively runs the Blaine Police Department Facebook page. Currently, as of an hour ago, 7,100 followers. Undoubtedly, the effectiveness of her running the page. Because of the massive following, the City of Blaine residents are effectively communicated with in regards to emergencies around the City of Blaine. Her training hours, roughly in the neighborhood of 62 hours per public information officer, and record training is roughly of 58 hours. She's integrated in local agency PIO meetings. These meetings discuss emerging trends and newly learned methods to approach the community. This experience is paramount in efficiently and professionally running the social media components of our police department. She assists with arrest warrant entries with NCIC and court-issued no-contact orders, anti-harassment orders, and sexual assault protection orders, along with stolen vehicle entries. This is a very tedious task that requires a second person to verify the record is accurate, as required by the Washington State Patrol access. Attention to detail is a must. The police department Facebook page is very active, putting out pertinent information related to public safety matters, community policing matters such as warnings about fentanyl, and programs such as the drug take-back program. Numerous citizens have complimented the lively and fun nature that she's embodied into our social media operations. Specialist Bichu roughly has 96 hours of training with an additional 24 in the near future, 120 hours total, which this would take months, if not years, to accumulate. This experience should not be taken lightly. There are multiple legal requirements, procedures, and protocols to effectively run the evidence division. Since she is not subject to 911 calls from service, she has the ability to perform research and track down property owners without being distracted, to move property out of our inventory as allowed by law. She is responsible for returning property, which resulted in a $20,000 donation to the city. Since we are seeking state accreditation as an agency, there is a very high standard for evidence-related components. She has been vital in the implementation of best practices and meeting these very high standards. The loss of office specialist and evidence custodian Bachu is detrimental to the agency, city, and its citizens. Her work standard is very high and for good reason. We want to be a reputable agency known for very high and excellent standards, especially since we're seeking state accreditation. Although her position has been selected as part of workforce reduction plan, I respectfully ask that you consider the information I provided in making your decision for its implementation. I know it is a tough ask, but as a member of this agency and coworker of Specialist Bichu, I'm obligated to advocate for her as it is vital for her to continue the good work and progress Chief Tanksley has ushered us towards for state accreditation, specialist efficiency. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job hitting the 3-minute mark there, dude.
Thank you. Mr. Crawford, do we have anybody on Zoom that would like to participate?
No, we can give about 15 to 20 seconds to see if they want to raise their hand or simply unmute themselves and see if they'd like to say something.
In the meantime, if there is anyone else who has not yet spoken and would like to speak, you're welcome to come up and participate.
Steve for Mitchell. Hello, everybody. I wasn't going to speak today, but something crossed my mind that happened, and it did involve the Blaine Police Department, since a lot of this has come up. One of my neighbors had a tag put on his vehicle a few weeks back, and it was to impound and take his property, his vehicle and his trailer full of tools. The tools is his livelihood, it's his pursuit of happiness, rights, and this is how he feeds his child. Children, four, that would be. So there was an incident, and it was a mistake, I'm sure, or who knows. Somebody made a phone call, claimed his trailer and his truck right in front of his house was abandoned. As you can see, if it's right in front of his house, the claim of abandoned would have been a mistake. I had an issue with the Blaine Police Department with a woman who was in there and behind the counter, and I asked her because I wanted to help the matter and inform the officer that there was a mistake. She wanted me to call 911. I said, well, this is not 911 worthy. I feel this might be abuse of 911. And she doesn't care. Okay. So there's three reasons why you don't touch the man's property. And first and foremost, Declaration of Independence. It's his pursuit of happiness rights. It's his livelihood. And it's how he feeds his children. Nobody needs to violate those rights. And I believe there's some training that might need to be input here in Blaine, not just for the officers, but for everybody who gives an oath. Second, it's in front of his house. It's not abandoned. Third, just went on vacation the day before. He's not here to defend himself. Four, it's all registered, legal, everything. Plates, insured. And the officer told me he didn't care, it will be impounded. This is what he said to me until later discussions came out. So my concern is, I believe, more training, the understanding of civil rights, liberties, and freedom, and how not to violate those same set rights, liberties, and freedom. Okay, guys? It's not what I really wanted to come here to say, but really, at the time, we had a lot of people upset, nervous, real estate women, neighbors, all upset because they wanted to help the neighbor that left. And all we had to do was relay some information to the nice officer so he can correct the mistake and not needed to go through 911. So I think there was a little bit of disconnect in our town. We don't need to abuse the 911 emergency services, but we should be able to have enough trust amongst each other to just relay information to fix any mistakes. Simple. So thanks, guys.
Okay, anyone else would like to make a comment, please, before we close the audience participation? All right, then we close the audience participation for this meeting. Mr. Crawford, have any written communications come forward? No?
No.
Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Items listed below will be enacted by one motion. If separate discussion is desired on an item, the item may be removed from the consent agenda and placed on the regular agenda at the request of a council member. Approval of bills, $1,058,760.77. Approval of advance pay, $28,915.36. Approval of September 11th, 2023 council meetings. Purchase of wastewater treatment plant, Berger permeate pump and spare. Purchase of radios for the police department.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Consent agenda is approved 6-0. We'll move on to the council action items. Resolution 1931-23, adopting a statement of support for the public health, safety, and justice sales and use tax, Whatcom County proposition. Mr. Harmon, please.
Thank you, Mayor. With my voice, the chief is going to jump in, and I can yield the floor to him, and he can give you an overview of what we're experiencing when we book individuals in the jail and why the jail is so important, and then we can come back to the rest.
Chief Tanksley, please.
Sure. So this resolution in short is to support the tax measure that will be before us on November 7th. Speaking from experience here as a chief of police, we've had multiple situations where we should have booked a person in jail, and there were booking restrictions set forth by the Sheriff of Whatcom County. So with this measure, I do believe that the new jail will be built, but sufficient services will be built also with the jail, and also sufficient oversight that's on the ballot. So if you have any questions,
I have a question regarding that. So my understanding is if the citizens of Whatcom approve the measure, that there's actually a lot of wiggle room on the details of once it's implemented, it could vary a little bit from the information we have now on exactly the size and the spending and what's included and what's not. Is that correct?
Sure. So as I understand it, that there isn't a specific plan outlined for the size of the facility, you know, the specs of it right now. So there is some wiggle room, but from what I understand and from everything I've read and everything that I do support is that with sufficient oversight through multiple commissions and groups and committees, that it would be hopefully a prosperous plan.
Thank you.
I can just make a comment. For the last 2 years, there has been a stakeholders advisory committee, which I've been a member of, that has looked at every single solitary aspect of the jail and the services required to run the jail, and considered testimony from just about everybody. And it is the opinion of the committee that what is being proposed is really in the best interest of the people of Whatcom County. Yes, there is a little bit of wiggle room that maybe it could expand a bit as the population grows and whatever, but basically the tenets of this proposal are really what we need. And Mayor Scott Cortes of Linden started the discussion at the small cities talking about this, saying if we had passed the resolution as proposed in 2017, we would have a jail now up and running, and we wouldn't have the problem with the catch and release that is a problem and all the other problems. So I think the enemy of good is perfect. So I think we need to keep that in mind. Thank you.
Would you characterize that this version of it includes a lot more of what the voters said that maybe not voted in 2017? A lot more of those conditions are actually included in this proposal, all right?
Some of the conditions are included in it, but I think also a lot of what people were concerned about as far as administration, excess, and has been removed.
Right.
So I think it's a very good compromise.
Well, this time around, there is an emphasis on behavioral health, reentry, supportive housing, and diversion of facilities and services, which I think that's where it really missed the mark years ago. So it's, you obviously see, I haven't seen the inside of our Whatcom County prison, thankfully, but it's, from what I've been reading, it's a huge liability, a huge risk. I mean, it could be upwards north of $500 million. If something catastrophic happened, which is, you know, 3 to 4 times more than what we're talking about. It's been critically unsuitable for more than 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. So I will say, in my 30 years of law enforcement in 3 different states, it's probably one of the worst facilities I've seen on a county level.
Absolutely. It is unbelievable.
One question is, so let's say we get this up and running and we get it going and everything, and it's working. Why would there ever be a spot in there to not help this grow? I keep hearing that they only want this many, they want this much, they want this. Why is a pushback? If something, I'm not saying it's gonna, but they start, they work, if it's successful and the mental health part's doing really well, why would you put this works really well, but we can't put any more beds there? Why would they even think like that?
I don't believe that's...
No.
I can't answer that question for but certain folks are thinking, yeah, or not thinking.
Maybe I've heard that information that I've heard a couple times of, you know, we can put it in, let's say, maximum 200 beds. Well, that's all you get, because we don't want a jail here. That's kind of what I, that could be, like I said.
My understanding is it would be expandable. Like
it's expandable as
you can add on
population modules.
Yeah.
Or you could turn single bed cells into double bed cells for no mere
that's
cost of building.
Also why the location is considered, because there is room for it. If you go up, it's very, very expensive. If you go across, it is less expensive to add more units on. And that is the advantage of the proposed location, that it can move.
And they got plenty of room.
And they got plenty of room.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Some of those people were in opposition. They just didn't want us to build 700 or 800 beds right now when that's not what we're meeting, because then it's like, well, we got all those empty cells. Maybe we ought to start filling them. Is not the market pressure we want in our justice system right now, is the argument. I'm just repeating what the argument has been of those who didn't want 700 or 800 units right now.
So I do believe for the purposes of this resolution, really is to support or not support the tax measure. Is that correct, sir?
That's correct. Go ahead, please.
The resolution does two things. It says, one, as a city, we support the construction of a new jail. It says, two, we support the new sales tax of 0.2% or $20 per $100. It's saying both of those things in the resolution. To be clear, it's not making any future commitment on what we'll do with our share of that tax. I think that will come back before this body when we start to consider things like a debt service and our fair share of that debt service.
And you touched on that a few meetings ago in
yep.
one of those proposals. So.
Are there any further questions or discussions? Would anybody like to make a motion on this resolution, please?
Sure, I will motion. Approve.
Okay, any further discussion before we vote? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the resolution passed 6-0. Moving on to water study for Semiahmoo and West Blaine. Mr. Gandhi, please.
Madam Mayor.
Yes,
so our 2019 water system plan forecasts that we will be shortage of water in the starting year 2021. So we're still working on the comp plan, but we have a couple of key developments that's coming up in the Semiahmoo and West Plain, right? So we're trying to do a study, modeling, as well as any upgrades that are required to meet those deadlines and forecasts for subdivisions and new developments. So we're requesting for a study that needs to be done. So that is what it is about.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Gandhi?
Didn't we have a modeling study done a couple of years ago? I mean, it was internal. Was that not sufficient for what we were needing?
So basically, it wasn't sufficient. So
okay.
We needed an expert advice on it.
Okay.
Right?
And what's the cost of this study going to be?
So the total cost for this is $35,717.
Great. Thank you.
You mentioned that there was a forecast for deficiency storage capacity starting 2021.
The study was done in 2019, and
there's by 2021 we'd start to hit it. It's a walk. How close are we to hitting this capacity?
On a rough numbers right now, we are over 71 units over allocated than what our system would be. But there's another clause on it that, you know what, that we are working with the fire department. There are a few things that we needed to go ahead and make sure that we are in compliance.
And for the overage, is that in Semiahmoo or West Bank? Because it's kind of two parts.
All together.
Okay. So we're adding 500 plus the 65 minus the overages for capacity. Cryptic.
Madam Mayor. As Mr. Gandhi said, we are currently over allocated on paper by 71 units. That's because we don't nest our system. So basically, we've taken the volume requirements for our houses or our ERUs, and we've stacked them on top of the fire flow requirements required by the fire marshal. What this study will do is look into our ability to mess those and basically say that they're one and the same. We believe with some redundancy, so ability to support backup pumping with the generator and some other things, we can pick up about 240 units on paper without having to do much. If you were to give every lot a building permit today, we've got about 140 lots that could be built out there today. So we believe, on paper, we have water to supply for the next 100 units that would develop with either any development that would happen in West Point. We also believe that there'll be some significant upgrades that will be the responsibility of the developer for any particular development to continue beyond those 100 units. And that's really the nexus or the crux of what this agreement will say. What is required, and can we nest those fire flow requirements with our ability to supply water?
I've got a couple of questions. They're kind of maybe into the weeds of that. First, this study that we're going to do, how is what we can deliver to Birch Bay going to factor into that? Because I don't know what percentage of our water goes to Birch Bay, but I know it's always a point of contention that are we paying them enough? Do we have enough to give them? That's the first question. Second question is talking about, and this is more along the line of development, talking about the next 100 or 200 or 500 units. For water enough that we could build in, you know, for every 500 units, let's say we need a new well, our impact fees cover that. Are the monies go to that new well, for example, or is it just going to pay for, you know, what we're putting in the ground right now?
So there's a lot there. I'll start with the answer.
Yeah.
The short answer is no, they're not adequate. In fact, the last time we studied our wastewater impact fees was 2009. Those are currently under review right now today. I would like to believe by the end of the year, we're bringing you new impact fees to consider. So what we know is that our impact fees today aren't covering the true cost of serving our system because they're allocated. Now let's talk about Birch Bay. Their system can actually backfeed that area in West Plain, that we can actually buy our water back to help supply that particular development area. We are giving Birch Bay less than we're contractually obligated because they just don't have the demand there today. So we're able to meet all of Birch Bay's volume requirements with our current system. And with the construction of the 220 reservoir, that's going to help because now it will all gravity flow to Birch Bay. And Birch Bay can eliminate a lot of their pumping requirements because, again, their whole system will gravity feed. So we're looking at the whole picture. That's what this proposal will do. But we're comfortable with what we're supplying with Birch Bay today that we'll be able to provide water to West Point. If we were to give Birch Bay all of their contractually, what we're contractually obligated to give them, that's a lot, and we'd have some serious concerns.
Great, thank you.
Hey, any further discussion on this? Could we get a motion on this, please?
I move that we adopt the water study for some problems.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Water study passes 6-0. Moving on then, Mr. Winger, draft interlocal agreement with Whatcom County, WCOG, and the cities of Whatcom County.
Yes, thank you. This is a request for council to authorize the city manager to enter into a contract with Whatcom County, Whatcom Council of Governments, all the cities in Whatcom County, to basically kick off our comprehensive plan update process for the 2025 periodic update. So this contract will cover a number of different things, countywide population, projections and allocations for employment, and also the population. Basically working with the county and the small cities to kind of divvy up where all the growth is going. This is pretty much I'm not going to say mandatory, but as close to mandatory contract as we could get. It's a pretty small contract, in my opinion, $18,915, Lane's being asked to contribute just over 3%.
And that's coming out of an existing budget for professional services anyway?
That's right.
Okay.
So CDS would pay for that out of professional planning services budget. and that funding would actually be split over 2 years, with 25% of that funding coming from 2025, because it's going to be a lengthy process. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
I know this is a small amount of money for us, but just looking at it, I see that Whatcom County and Bellingham, they have roughly between the two of them, 80% of the population, and they're paying just over 72% of the total. And some of the smaller cities, to include Blaine, are paying more based on population. It's not a big amount of money, but down the road, like Whatcom County and the city of Bellingham saying, you small guys got to pay more. Is there a reason for that?
So Whatcom Council of Governments, I believe, was picking up $40,000, if I'm not mistaken there. Yes, that's correct. And those funding allocations were developed with the small city planners groups. And so that was based, some of the work that needs to be done is not just population-based, transportation planning on a countywide level. So it was divvied up, everyone had to pay initial $5,000, and the rest would go towards population.
Okay, great, thank you. And
last time we updated the comprehensive plan in the urban growth area update, did we do it in this fashion, or did we have staff members?
No, we Madam Mayor, yes, so we did it in this fashion where we had interlocal, same exact method, and there's a lot of staff work that goes into this as
right.
Well. This is not just turning it all over the county.
Very big documents. All right, thank you. And I did want to make a note, this is the second time in two meetings that the issue has come up. If there's anything that comes to City of Blaine where the City of Blaine has a share of something that's also being contributed to by Whatcom County and the cities, I think you'll find that council will continually remind everyone to please check and see if that matches proportionally by population or by economic impact, whether or not it's proportionally being the Blaine amount of that and no more than that, wherever possible. Thank you.
Okay, any further questions on this before we get a motion? Hey, would someone like to make a motion on this?
I will motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, this agreement is passed 6-0. Okay, finally going on to professional services award for the design of the Wellfield Pump Station project. Mr. Gandhi, again, please.
Madam Mayor. So this is already budgeted in the 2023 capital CIP project. So this is basically award of engineering and design contract to RH2 for Wellfield Pump Station. So this is basically like... we already have a grant money of $875,000. That's half a million from Department of Commerce, and then $375,000 from EDA grant from the county. And we're budgeting, that was like a two-thirds of a grant and one-third of a loan. And then we are contributing $500,000 towards the whole project.
Any questions for Mr. Gandhi? No. Somebody want to make a motion to?
I move that we approve this.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And this award is passed 6-0. Going on to commission, committee, and board reports. Does anyone have any report from any of their commissions, committees?
With Whatcom Council of Governments, we're going to be looking at some. Traffic studies and whether or not things have to be done to improve traffic in Whatcom County, and I'll be on that subcommittee. I look forward to that. I've had some experience in the past with the impacts of traffic calming devices and the red light ticketing traffic cameras that Bellingham almost put in and had to spend $100,000 getting out of the contract of when the city voted 68% against having them. So I'll be trying to look at some of the things we're doing in this county regarding traffic and giving some input. So if anyone has anything they'd like to prep me on for that from the perspective of the Blaine City Council,
please send me an email with anything you've got on your mind about that. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else with any reports or any? Okay. We will move on to department reports, community development services. Mr. Wenger, it's yours.
Yes, I wanted to report that on September 14th, the Planning Commission completed their review of manufactured home parks and will be making a recommendation to City Council. We anticipate bringing that to City Council at their next meeting, October 9th. Forward to providing that recommendation from our Planning Commission. Coming up, the Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee will be reviewing grants on October 10th. They have finalized their recommendation on the budget, so that will be coming forward to Council as well. October 12th is our Planning Commission, and then moving forward a little bit, November 8th will be the Whatcom County countywide comp plan kickoff meeting, and I'll be coordinating with the City Manager on invites to that with county for the County Executive.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Just a question, not for Alan, but for the group, regarding the Planning Commission's decision on manufactured homes. When it's presented, will it be next council meeting? Do we feel there's a need to maybe have somebody from somebody from the Planning Commission, the chair, come in and kind of explain what their thought process was, just so we kind of know what's going on?
Yeah, I'd love to have the chair of the Planning Commission handy to be able to give us any details that we might be sitting here speculating on.
Okay.
You could fill us in. That would be great.
Okay.
Right.
Mr. Wenger, do you want to ask?
Yes, I would be delighted to invite Mr. Al Umerding to the meeting.
Okay. All right.
Is there any chance we'd be able to get kind of the recommendation information, all that, before the Friday, before that Monday? If it's prepared earlier,
I think we'll have application materials ready. I'll have to coordinate with Mr. Crawford on giving that to you. But yes, possible.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Herman.
If I could just make one comment, generally, Mayor, back to our water system. We've been in contact with DEA, Rodney Langer, who is our water expert. And generally speaking, as long as we make continual improvements to our water system, we can supply water to the world. If we have a lull in making those improvements, we'll start to have problems. So just for the council's awareness, we've got to sort of trudge along and make continual improvements to keep up with growth, but we're okay. We're just fine. That was it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, there are calendars if you'd like to look at. And I don't see an executive session. Council unfinished business. Council new business. All right. We will adjourn the meeting at 6:43.